Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
D-I-N-O. S-A, you are a dinosaur, D-I-N-O-S-A, you are a dinosaur. Lawrence, who sings that song?
You, just now.
No, it's Key Dollar Sign Heart, otherwise known as Kesha. Lawrence, welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world. My name is Nathan. As always, I'm joined by my wonderful companion as we go on this adventure through time and space.
You are aware you just went on autopilot and did still got legs, right?
I realised that halfway through, yeah. But I thought too late to stop
now. Didn't care to stop.
Too late to stop now. Just better keep on going. The show must go on. Lawrence, why don't you tell us what the show is all about?
There we go. That feels
Lawrence,
more
shut the fuck up. Oh, what happens? What do we
do?
Shall
I just jump in?
Yeah, just say what happened. Just do the
okay,
thing.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Do what you need to do.
Okay. Nathan, this is a show where each week we get together to discuss something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a movie, it could be a TV show, it could be a video game. But the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse that is oh so prevalent throughout time and space.
Lawrence, if there's three things I love, it's movies, TV shows, and video games. And if there's one thing I don't love, it's toxic discourse about all three of those things. So I think I'm in the right place, okay? I feel like this is a safe space for me and my opinions, okay?
What's this mood you're in?
I don't know. I'm in a weird
You need to address it.
I'm in a weird, playful mood. I don't know why, okay?
Oh, good.
It's your fault. Because of you, we missed a week, so now I have all this excess podcasting energy that has been, it's loaded up, you know? I'm bursting at the seams with podcast energy that I need to ejaculate.
Come on, dude. Oh, God, right. If everyone's listening and wondering if this is probably going to be the vibe throughout. It is going to be. I've known this man for too long to know that he can come back from this.
Anyway.
You're saying you're pent up. You needed a release.
I'm
what you're
pent
saying.
Up, yes. I'm
pent okay.
Yes.
Yeah. You regret saying any of that?
No, it's good fun, isn't it?
It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I've said worse stuff online.
That is true. Jurassic March, Nathan. We're back.
It's Jurassic March, Lawrence. Welcome to Jurassic March.
Thank you.
My favourite month of the year, apart from The Matrix and Suckcast.
What's the other one we did? We did another tie-in, didn't we? We did the Hunger Mames.
No, that was never a thing. Stop trying to make that happen, all right? There was never a conceivable thing whatsoever.
What we did the Hunger Games. Did we add a month
no,
to that?
No, we just did Hunger Games in, like, fucking September. No, stop. You went through this. You can't do this. You're not good at it. Stop it, okay?
Sorry. I need some of your excess podcast energy so I can be better at it, clearly. Don't. Whatever you're about to say, nip it in the bud now. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, shoot.
Stop it. Just stop. It's so easy for you to not say what you're about to say.
But it'd be so good.
It wouldn't. Right, I saw that little glint in your eye. I saw you excited to say whatever heinous, disgraceful thing you wanted to then?
I'll shoo my excess podcast energy all over your face.
For the love of God.
Fuck it. Oh, weird.
I wonder why this is the less successful podcast.
This is going back to old AHP days. This is... Remember Weird Vibes in the Studio? That was a thing for a while, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yeah.
Weird Vibes in the Studio tonight, boys.
We've matured, but apparently we've regressed today. Nation, shall we get into Jurassic March?
Lawrence, I'd love nothing more than to get into The Lost World, colon Jurassic Park. A title that is backwards.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what you're doing, Stephen, but you did that wrong. It's the other way around, mate.
I even considered, like, when I put this episode out, when I publish it on all the podcast platforms, like, should I uphold this? Like, it feels wrong.
I feel like you'll have to. You have to do what the movie's called, even though the movie's wrong. But
yeah, the movie should be right. I don't get it.
I know, but yeah. Jurassic Park is a franchise name, Stephen. It's franchise colon subtitle, but he's gone subtitle colon franchise.
It's also not really about a lost world.
No, but it's
there's not like, really a lost world in this.
No, but it's like it's based. Well, it's based on the book, but like the book wasn't even written before they started making this movie.
Yeah,
they were like, "Oh, Michael Crichton's writing another book. Cool. What's it about? I don't know. Don't worry about it. Just fucking get me that. We'll just call it the name, and then we'll make whatever happens happen. All right. Don't worry about it."
So they get to the end of it and they're like, "Stephen, there's no lost world in this." He's like, "Nah, forget it. Don't worry about it. Who cares?"
The lost world was inside his war.
Yeah, he was. Yes, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It was the friend we made along the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where are you at with this? To sum up, we both really like Jurassic Park. Go listen to last week.
It's a good movie. Last 2 weeks. It's a good movie. Lots of dinosaurs, which I love. Mm. You get weird about it because... Oh, cinema, whatever.
I don't get weird about it. I just think it's a great blockbuster. You get weird and I like about it.
And I get weird about it because there's dinosaurs.
Are two weird things coming together.
And it's a good, fun dinosaur time. This is a good, fun dinosaur time too. Dinosaurs Boogaloo.
No, you cannot. Don't give me the nod. Like, take over. You said nothing.
I said it's a sequel.
Yeah, a fact.
What do you think of this movie?
I think its biggest crime is that a better movie doing the same thing came out 4 years prior to it.
I don't think it's possible for a movie to commit a crime. They're not people. They don't have hands. They can't hold guns.
What if the movie itself contained criminal imagery?
No. Well, no. Then it would just be illegal to have made, distribute, and... watch that movie.
So the movie is the crime?
No.
Right.
You commit a crime. Look, a robbery isn't a criminal, all right?
Okay, yeah.
The crime isn't the criminal, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This has got to be the fastest we've ever got off on a stupid tangent that means nothing.
Anyway, what did you say? I wasn't listening because I was mostly focused on the criminal thing.
Okay, good. You were so excited to get that out, to debate that. It's. I mean, if Jurassic Park hadn't come out, this would be perfect. I don't think there's anything wrong with this movie.
No, it's great.
It's just, I don't think it's as good as the original Jurassic Park, and its biggest crime is that the Jurassic Park came out before. I've seen a better version of this movie.
I think it's just as good as Jurassic Park in that it's... I was entertained when I was watching Jurassic Park and I was as equally entertained when watching this. If not more, because there's more dinosaurs and more dinosaurs equals better movie.
Yeah, but more dinosaurs that look worse, though. They rely more on CG in this one.
Incorrect.
Oh, false. Come on now.
False. Stop. Incorrect, okay?
Okay, yeah.
There's more CG, but there's also more puppetry. There's more practical stuff too. You see the practical T-Rexes for way longer in this movie than you do in the first one.
maybe it's just the vibe. Like it's not raining. It's not all gross and.
I think it looks so much better than it does in the first movie here.
Do you think?
Massively, yes. I think it's and looks great in the first movie, but they have somehow improved it in this one, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I just watching it, I just felt it felt a little bit like, I don't know, it relied less on the wonder and less on the horror. It just felt more like I'm not going to say it's a bad movie at all, because I was entertained watching it, but like it felt more like they're going through the motions of a dinosaur movie, whereas like the original Jurassic Park got lost in the whimsical wonder of it all.
I think that's your problem, though.
Yeah, almost certainly. Yeah, right. I don't think... Maybe it's my crime, not the movie's crime.
You're the criminal. Arrest him now, boys.
Yeah, it probably is my problem. Because like I say, if I had watched this before Jurassic Park, I maybe would have even felt the reverse. Like, it's impossible to know. But yeah, all in all, I like it. It's cool.
What is it with you and your kind and only been able to like one thing? You know,
stop saying my kind.
No, maybe. You're all the same. You can like more than one movie. You know,
I do. I just think it's a less. I don't know. To me, it feels like a less interesting Jurassic Park. I don't know. I do. I understand what
Is
you're saying.
Is it not interesting that there's a T-Rex on the streets of San Francisco / San Diego?
Not really.
What do you mean, not really? How is that not interesting? Are you fucking insane?
No,
a dinosaur is on the streets of America in the 90s. How is that not interesting?
I don't think it's got that punch.
It eats that dog.
I know it does. I was very sad to see that chain just waving.
I was also very sad, but hey, life finds a way. They say it like 20 times in this movie. All right,
they do. Yeah,
but life finds a way. You know,
I don't know. It just. It feels...
Oh, it's not the same one I saw first, so it's bad.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it feels... It doesn't feel as interesting. It doesn't feel as dramatic. Like, it doesn't feel... The dinosaur doesn't feel as scary.
Wrong.
Because it's just like... But it's just like...
Wrong.
It just feels flatter. It lacks that punch for me. Tell me why it doesn't lack the punch for you. Don't just say I'm wrong.
Wrong. No, I think it does. I think this scene, with the little fucking little bendy bus RV trailer, whatever the fuck that contraption is, when like the when the, like the two dinosaurs come for their baby, and they're like, "Hey, you got our baby. Give us back our baby." And then they're like, "Well, thank you for giving us back our baby. Now we're gonna kill you." That's a great scene. It's very tense. It's very scary.
That's the Uncharted 2 scene, right? I've climbing up the train.
I've never played Uncharted. I don't know what this is.
I tell you what, you watch Dead Reckoning Part 1, Mission Impossible. You know the scene where they're climbing up the train?
Did I watch Dead Reckoning? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes.
You're obviously connected with it on a profound level.
Forget that. That's one that's... You want to talk about movies that are fucking snooze fest. Oh, boy. No, I'm sure it's fine.
Look, that is what you're talking about. Is the bendy bus off the cliff, right? That scene.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. That's a good. It's a good. I like that. That's
it's a good tense scene. Scary.
It is.
This time there's two dinosaurs. Oh, literally doubled the stakes. All right,
that's how it works.
Yeah, and I think it looks great. There's moments in that where we're getting right up close to the fucking puppets. The big fucking Tyrannosaurus heads, and then like, fuck, this looks amazing. That's a real fucking dinosaur.
They do feel more movable.
Yeah, I can touch it.
Yep. No, stop with you this episode. I don't want you to touch it. Thank you very much. No, because you've been talking about all sorts, getting rid of your podcast energy.
You were free to interpret things however you like, okay? But. You know, not everything is as sinister as you make it out to be.
No, they do feel more movable. There's more shots of, like, the dinosaurs kind of up and close to the actors' faces, which is a bit fun. It does feel... This is the thing. This is the weird, like, contradiction I have with it, right? Because it does feel more dangerous, in a way.
Because it
is. But not as scary. I feel like the situations are more dangerous, but they don't feel as impactful as the Jurassic Park ones did.
Why do you think that is, Lawrence?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I wish I had an answer, but like the scene in the original with the T-Rex running after the Jeep, like Ian Malcolm gets up close to quite a few dinosaurs in this movie, but it never felt as tense and edge of your seat stuff as it did in that Jeep. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do, but like I think that's more to do with Jeff Goldblum, because I was watching this movie and I was like, is Jeff Goldblum a good actor?
I feel like he's a bit checked out in this.
I feel like he is too. Yeah, I feel like he was. Maybe he was just getting paid. Like he was just like, yeah, sure, pay me $1 million and then I'll come and do it. You know, like, there was moments when I was watching them, I was like, I don't know if you're trying here, Jeff. I think you're just. I think someone's just saying these words off screen and then you're just repeating them.
Yeah,
that's what might.
Could
be
it
happening
be
here.
That he's just. Really attractive.
Maybe so, yeah.
And that's the magic of the 90s.
Yeah, maybe he's just hot, and then we was all fooled. Who knows?
Hey, I mean, he's cleaned up a little bit in this movie. I do like his overall vibe.
He's less bad boy and more sad dad.
More trying to be a dad.
yeah, more deadbeat dad. He's like Tom Cruise in that other Spielberg movie. Oh, Spielberg movies are all about sad dads, now that I think about it. Oh, maybe he needs to see what's going on there.
He had a very sad dad.
Oh, all right, you watch The Fablemans, who cares? Fuck off.
It's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
Watch The Fablemans. Go fucking jack off about it then.
Listen, there's enough jacking off in this episode already, young man.
By me.
There's that line about he likes to have kids, he just doesn't want to be around for them. When his daughter said that to him, I was like, oh, Lord. that's hard to hear.
Wait, did his daughter say that to him?
Yeah, she when he was
oh,
like...
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Yes.
When he's like, you can't come on this, and she's like, I'm going to come on it.
I... Like me in this episode.
No.
I thought you was talking about the line in the first one where it, like Sam Neill says to him, you got kids? And then he's like, yeah, I got so many, I don't even know how many.
I do like that he's cleaned up his act, though. He's gone from, they called him a rock star in the first one, so now he's just a big whistleblower. Which is, I think it's an interesting concept that of all of them to whistleblow, it was him.
Yeah, it is, because they do say, you know, like everyone else kept shirt. You know, they like fucking took the payment or whatever. I'm like, oh, well, not as heroic as we all thought. Fucking, you know, Sam Neill and Laura Dern, they're all like, yeah, I'll keep shirt. Give me $1 million, you know.
Do they all meet up again in Jurassic Park 3?
Yeah, Jurassic World 3.
I'm sure Sam Neill's in Park 3, isn't he?
Sam Neill is in Jurassic Park 3. I don't think Jeff Goldblum is.
Fucking hell, they kept missing each other. Yeah. It took them a while.
they're like trains at different stations, you know, just going past each other. Yeah. I don't think Goldblum's in 3. Laura Dern is for like one scene on the phone, maybe.
Oh, that's such a letdown.
Or something. Yeah, but it's mostly Sam Neill in 3. He's the only one on the island, anyway. I know that for a fact.
How much more interesting would a Laura Dern-led Jurassic Park movie have been?
Very much so, yeah. That'd have been great.
Because she's brilliant in the original, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. But yeah, anyway, so the rest of them took their hush money. Jeff Goldblum's, he's blown the whistle. I like that there's this kind of, which one did we decide he was, David or Richard? Which one is he?
What the fuck are you talking about?
The old guy, Hammond. Who's he again?
Oh, he's... I don't know. I have no idea.
We decided he was one of the Attenboroughs.
He's David or Richard Attenborough. He's one whatever of them, the one who isn't dead yet.
I do like that he's kind of like...
I mean, and that could very much change by the time this episode comes out. But
it could change by the hour at this point. Like, come on. It's not looking good for him, but I like that he's kind of... He's come out and said, basically, I'm not going to apologize for it, but we should change some stuff. We should do some stuff differently. And then immediately he's been hit with the backlash that I presume he hit many people with in the first movie, was like, oh, a company's bigger than one person and I've been pushed out big time. No. I don't want to hear that Nedry noise ever again.
Yes, sniveling corporate boy is like, oh, I love this company and I'm going to go... fucking money, dinosaurs, money.
Jeff Goldblum has that fine line about how he's like, the talent skips a generation and his like Hammond impression is not really up to snuff. Like he's just rinses him, just some good stuff.
Hammond again does not have a Scottish accent until he does, and then gets very Scottish, which is impressive considering he's only in one scene in this movie.
It's one of them was shot over a long day, and by the afternoon he was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Can't be bothered.
So I don't know what's going on there, but Yeah.
Just two men filming a scene, neither of them want to be there.
And the kids are back for one scene. They're like, hi, Uncle Jeff Goldblum. We almost died together. Anyway, see you later.
This is, I don't understand like the direction this story went, especially if it's not following the book, because they're like unrestricted, right? So it feels very like the fucking gymnastics, pun intended, not even a pun, there's just gymnastics in the movie, but like the gymnastics that this script has to achieve to get Jeff Goldblum back on a dinosaur infested island is like, I don't know, there's some kids there and your girlfriend's there. We never met your girlfriend, but your girlfriend's there as well. And he's like, damn you, old bastard. I'm off. I guess I'm off back to the island.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's strange. It's a bit of a... You kind of have to just go, all right, yeah, it's Jurassic Park. We're going to get some dinosaurs on
it. I feel like the first one's like that, though. I feel like it's all loose, apart from, like, everything else, you know? Apart from, like, the dinosaurs and stuff. Or maybe that's just me. But, like...
Well, they've got the setup of the park, though. Like, and they need... I think it's a bit more fleshed out because they need experts to sign off on it so that the lawyers can all get their money.
Yeah, but then they're like, oh, this... Here we go, let's do this big park thing. And then it's, like, the worst fucking thing. Like, you don't want to do a test run, like, of fucking anything.
Yeah, you know?
Just try one aspect before you, you know, get the whole fucking, you know, show to sign off. The whole thing which will determine if this actually goes ahead to have a go of it. Maybe do a dress run beforehand, you know, just to check if it is. Don't do your first check on the big important one which, you know, determines the life and death of this park, you know?
Yeah. If it all hinges on that one thing, you probably want to have done a dress rehearsal first.
And maybe pay Nedry more than a tenner, you know?
And then this, you could have avoided a lot of this.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Not all of it, but a lot of it. I do like this movie. It does switch the perspective a little bit, because then they go to the kind of, it's like a sister island of the original.
It's Site B, Lawrence. It's less something else.
I want to say sauna?
Yeah, I think that's it. Isla Sauna. Isla Nubar is the first one.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then this is Isla, whatever you just said.
I must know that from somewhere else, because I did not remember that from the movie. Like, I must have just had that in the back of my mind somewhere.
Maybe.
Yeah, I like that it's this time. They're going to the place where the dinosaurs have been growing naturally.
Yeah, they kind of did some retconning, and they said, oh, that first island, yeah, no, that's just the show floor, don't worry about it. That's just, like, where we like, all that science stuff, that was all fake, that was all just for show and stuff.
I mean, it was on a theme park ride.
Yeah, like... I know, but they seem to be doing real science. Like, B.D. Wong was there, and he was like, hello, I'm B.D. Wong. I'm doing the science, you know?
They should have just had, like, a bunch of, like, kind of underpaid actors all standing in the room. When Sam Neill was like, how did you do this? And he's like, I wrote down my intention in the scene.
just a guy in, like, you know, there's, like, science glasses and then, like, two test tubes just pouring various liquids back and forth but not actually doing anything, you know?
Yeah, there's a guy flicking the switch on a Bunsen burner over and over.
Yeah, all that vague science shit, you know?
There is a bit more bullshit but believable science, which I wrote this down because I quite enjoyed the science explanation. Because there's supposed to be some sort of chemical that kills without human intervention. Like, if the dinosaurs don't get, like, an antidote to some chemical, then they will just die. It's like a preventative measure if they ever escape. Like, every couple of days or something, they need, like, some sort of antidote or whatever. Now, what I quite liked about that is how they work around it. Is that basically there's stuff in the forest which mostly contains the same ingredients of the antidote. The herbivores eat the antidote, and then the carnivores eat the herbivores who have eaten the antidote. So they get their greens in, basically.
The circle of life. I have no memory of this, so I don't know if I missed this or like...
Who says it? Jessica Chastain, isn't it? Julianne Moore.
It's not Jessica Chastain.
I get them. Howard.
I would know if it was Jessica Chastain. Okay, I would be incredibly turned on for the whole movie, Lawrence. All right, and I already am a little turned on because Jeff Goldblum is there. All right,
but I thought you meant right now. I was like, Nathan, steady.
I'm always like at least 10% turned on.
Oh, but I like, don't need to think
about Jessica
this.
If Jessica Chastain was there, I would be aware of the situation, Lawrence.
It's Julianne Moore. I was
it
wrong.
It is Julianne Moore. Yes,
I misspoke. No, Bryce Dallas Howard's in the World movies.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard's in the... And we never mentioned Bryce Dallas Howard. What are you bringing her up for?
Because there's those three women. I get confused.
Redhead women look the same to you, do
no,
they?
No, I didn't say that. I just get them confused, right?
Okay.
It's like Henry Cavill and Matt Bomer. They're the same person to me.
Who the fuck is Matt Bomer?
He's in Magic Michael.
Every dude in Magic Michael looks the same. They're all the same shirtless man, all right?
Yeah, it's a bad example to pin one out of a crowd, to be fair.
Oh, this guy kind of does look like Henry Cavill.
This is what I'm saying, right? It's two people that have the same energy as each other.
Oh, he's in The Nice Guys?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's the bad guy in The Nice Guys.
Oh.
He plays the titular not-so-nice guy.
Well, that's not very nice of him.
I don't think so, yeah.
Lawrence's dinosaurs. Let's talk about dinosaurs.
Can we talk about the coolest scene?
Is it where there's the little dinosaur with, like, he's got, like, a big head that, like, he rams... He's, like, a little guy, and he's got, like, a big head that he rams into people, and then he rams into that guy, and he, like, gets shoved through the car, because that's fucking sick.
That is... I do, like, yeah, he goes fully through it as
well. I think
it's
a cowboy switch, though, I think, because he comes through that car way too quick, but, like... I think it's a cowboy switch, but it's good, though. It's good.
But how are you getting that momentum to get ejected out of a car from inside a car like that?
From a CGI dinosaur as well.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all CGI. Who knows?
Maybe the whole movie is CGI. Who knows?
Yeah, like that guy came out the car too quick from the very real dinosaur attack he was supposed to be enduring.
Exactly. But that's a cool little scene. That's a cool little dinosaur. What's the best? What are you talking about? What are you alluding to then?
I like the long grass where the raptors are like stealth hunting. Oh, come on. It's so cool.
It is cool. It's no dinosaur lost in New York. All right. And it's not New York. Okay. I know that. But like, yeah. I think that's cool. And I also love the fucking where the dinosaur, the T-Rex goes, I'm going to have a little look inside this tent. See what's going on in here. You know?
I did like that. Yeah.
I mean, that's fucking cool as shit, man. His tent is spooky. It fucking ramps up the tension from the first movie. He's having a little look. Great fucking puppetry work as well. It looks
It is good.
Very
it does
believable
look good.
And great. You got Julianne Moore and her stepdaughter apparently being like, shh, there's a dinosaur. It's great.
Everyone hush.
Everyone hush.
My favorite dinosaur moment is when...
Is it when the little girl gets eaten alive by compies?
Oh, well, that's close. That's a close second.
That annoying little fucking not British girl, but...
Oh, I actually... Right, because here's the thing, right? She's a little girl, and I had a
father,
note about her accent.
Father, I don't want sandwiches for dinner, father.
I'm glad you went there first. I deleted my note because I thought it'd be harsh nitpicking. But it's so bad. It opens
it's
the
very
movie.
Bad. Yeah, just get a and British just, girl. Or just don't make them British, man.
Yeah, she could have been... She's on a random island. She could have been anyone from anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I just... Yeah, I don't get it. It's... Yeah, she went, oh, she's like sharing her food amongst all these like little mini dinosaurs. And she's like, oh, there isn't enough to go around.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, come on, stop. Yeah.
And then they all kill her for the crime of not having enough sandwich to go around. And fair enough, I say.
Yeah. That's how it was in British schools. I hope you got enough to share with the whole class.
Otherwise, they bring out the dinosaurs and then you get killed.
All right. Now, my favorite. Dinosaur interaction is Jeff. You know Jeff Goldblum. Like he's trying to protect Julianne Moore and his kid, and they like go and hide in some cubicle somewhere, and he's like trying to get the attention of like three raptors. I think it is. Then if they're not raptors, whatever. They're raptor-sized dinosaurs.
They're raptors. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, they're what the movie says are raptors, which is not quite accurate to raptors. But go on.
But so they're like. Jeff Goldblum, he runs inside of a room to it. Like, he fiddles with a door handle, just gets through the door.
Oh, is this where it, like, just launches itself through the window?
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a big glass panel, and he tries so hard to get through the door. He slams the door shut. He's like, I'm finally safe. And less than a second later, the dinosaur just steamrolls through the fucking glass. And he just. But what I love the most about it is he leaves the door, and then he shuts it on his way back out. Like, he's proper slapstick. And it just tickled me, made me laugh.
And then he hides behind the door, and then like the dinosaur like shoves its head through the glass window in the door as well. It's all very good stuff.
It is, yeah, it's very very Chuckle Brothers dinosaur
moment. I like the moment where Julianne Moore, like, falls off a roof next to two raptors, but luckily they start having a fight. They get angry with each other because, I don't know, they were bad at trying to eat Julianne Moore, I guess.
Yeah, so come on, man, take it seriously.
Yeah, so they get into a fight about that. It's good stuff, man.
Do you know what? There is some good dinosaur stuff in this. Like, it's... Yeah. Maybe it's going for a sillier, because that was my big thing. It's not as dramatic, but I think it is trying to go for something a bit sillier.
Not as serious as dinosaur movie. I like.
No, I just think it does obviously seem like it is going for something a bit more larger than life. Like, it doesn't feel as, which is stupid to say about a movie franchise with dinosaurs in it, but it doesn't feel as real as the first one, maybe intentionally.
This is real.
No, well, Nathan, I need to tell you something, all right?
No, I'm aware. But it's,
okay, good.
It's as real as the first one, I think.
Maybe. I think that there might be a weird balance thing, because it's the movie that, like, the human plot of it all is, like, taking a guy. Oh, Vince Vaughn's in it, by the way.
Yeah, what's going on with Vince Vaughn, man? Like,
I thought they were. At one point, I thought they were trying to, like, set up some romance between Julianne Moore and Vince Vaughn, because he was, like, spending a lot of time with her character and then were both marveling at all of his photos.
I didn't get that.
But then he kind of just... But he just leaves the plot.
Does he leave the plot?
He kind of just disappears. Like, I can't remember what happens to him, but he fucks off and then he's not really in the third act.
Is that what, well, yeah, he's not in the Dinosaur Gets Lost in New York bit. But, yeah, like, you got a dinosaur in New York, that's what you need.
What were they trying to do with him, do you reckon?
Do you mean, like... What do you mean?
No, but like character-wise, like, it's just like a guy to take photos. Because he seems like this weird, like, I'm a bad boy kind of guy, but we've already got Jeff Goldblum playing the lead.
He's like a weird bad boy, but then he's also, like, some Greenpeace kind of eco, like, yeah, Just Stop Oil warrior as well or some shit, because he's having a go at Pete Postlethwaite, the greatest hunter in the world, who's like,
yeah,
I'm the greatest hunter in the world, and I'm going to hunt this buck. I'm the priest from Romeo plus Juliet, and I'm going to hunt the fucking buck.
That's where
buck.
I know him from.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great actor. He's one of the best, yeah, man. He's fucking
Friar
sick.
Lawrence.
Yeah. This man is my best friend, and I love him very much.
I'm going to give him a kiss.
I'm going to give him a little kiss, okay?
Oh, he's so sad when he's like, he didn't make it out or something, and he's just, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, sad times for sad boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it sucks to have something killed, doesn't it? You fucking trophy hunting piece of shit. Yeah.
Maybe life is fragile, you sad little boy. But then I feel like, the movie really falls flat with all the human shit. It's so just messy. And I feel like this is the same in the first one as well, really. Because, like, they don't know what they're doing with Pete Postlethwaite, because they're like, oh, he's a hunter, he's bad, he's the scum of the earth. But then, like, he kind of saves the day, though, as well. And then he's also like, hey, like, this guy died, but no one tell the little girl. It will be very sad for the little girl to hear this, okay? And this is something I, the hunter man, care about, okay? Because I'm a nice guy, but I'm also evil, all right?
Yeah.
So, like, they really, like, get their wires crossed and just don't know, like, how to fucking portray this guy, I feel like.
Is he a sympathetic character? Is he not? Is he an arsehole? What's going on? Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah.
Because don't tell the little girl, it will upset her. But you can bet your life if a dinosaur landed in front of her, he's just sniper-shotting that cunt's head clean off.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I do know what you mean. I don't know how... Show you're working for the first one, though. What do you think's messy about the humans? I don't think there's anything that messy in the first one, human-wise.
Okay, you can't let anything slide, can you?
No, what? I can't. You said it, Nathan, and I want to explore it.
It's all messy, isn't it?
I don't think so.
I do.
I think it's actually pretty clean.
I think I only care about the dinosaurs.
I mean, you've been consistent. I can't fault you on it. It's true. All right, what other dinosaur stuff is going on with this? Let's have a look through my notes. We're all over the shop here.
Dinosaur in the tent is very cool. I love that a lot. It's really. I'll tell you what is really good as well. Just before we get Dinosaur Lost in New York, there's the sequence with the boat. And they're like, hey, this big boat is coming. Everyone get ready to see this boat. And then they're like, oh, wait, the boat's coming too quick. And then, like, just emerges out of the fog and just, like, rams into the fucking pier. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. That was a good sequence. And I like that, like, the... I always like a little slow pan out reveal to just a hand on the, like, oh, there's a, is there a dead guy holding the what's it called? The mast of the ship? What's it called?
The big ship.
The helm.
No, the helm is like, here, take the helm. The helm is like driving. It's like another word for driving it.
Nathan,
like,
stop talking about your helm. You're too helm, horny this episode.
No, not that. No. And that's not even a thing. All right. Helmet. Yeah, the true. Helm is like to if you were, if I was to helm a car, I would be driving the car.
Oh, so you would helm something.
Yeah, which legally I am not allowed to do. But like,
but who's looking?
But who's watching, you know?
He's in a car now. Get out.
I'm driving.
Another Happy Studios brought to you by The Road. Never mind car. Let's talk about a more fashionable mode of transport, which is doing gymnast flips.
She got the bronze.
She did. What do you make of this scene? I feel like this is the scene where you can always determine people's thoughts on the sequel.
I mean, it's dumb. It's it's very dumb. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So this little girl who has been very rightfully terrified throughout the entire movie that she's on a dinosaur island and that they're all want to kill her. And I'm like, that's reasonable, you know? That's a reasonable thing to be frightened of. Suddenly she just plucks the courage up to kick a dinosaur in the face or whatever.
And like the full routine as well. Yeah, like it's not even routine. Just a quick trick.
Yeah. And I feel like she started doing the routine before the dinosaur was like even there, you know? like the dinosaur, like it took a while for it to get into position and she was doing like a whole sequence or whatever they call it. Like the fact that they ended up in the same place, miracle. Right, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I do like Jeff Goldblum's line afterwards. It's like, and they kicked you out of gymnast club or whatever.
Yeah, what's going on there? Did they not see what she did on Dinosaur Island?
That she is the only person alive to have successfully gymnasted a dinosaur.
There you go. Yeah.
Can you say that? I've gymnasted you.
Probably not.
Because it's got to be some. What is there like a really gymnastic form of martial arts? I feel like there has to be.
Why the fuck are you asking me?
I'm just curious. I'm just thinking about it now.
And I would know the answer to that?
No, maybe not, but I'm just, you know, you're a worldly man. You've lived.
It's true, I have.
So tell me, Nathan. Regale me, please.
Yes, there is.
Damn, his anyway, wisdom moving isn't for on. Us mortal ears.
Yeah.
No, we got to respect it, yeah.
No further questions.
Fair enough. Yeah, look, for me... It's fine. It's dumb. It's fine.
It's great.
It's just stupid.
I want to know why you don't like Dinosaur Lost in New York. All right.
Right.
Because it's what more do you want? All right. I cannot fathom a man who watches a movie about dinosaurs sees a dinosaur lost in New York. Like, surely that's the next logical step, right? We have this great movie that comes out in 1993, the year everyone who's beautiful was born. All right. Mm. And they're like, fucking, it's a great movie. It's a beautiful piece of fiction. We all agree. We're like, hey, this is a great movie. You got sexy people. You got Laura Dern. You got Jeff Goldblum. You got Sam Neill to some extent. Being like, hey, we're all hot, we're here, and there's dinosaurs too.
Sam Neill's sexy. Take that back.
He's to some extent. He's not as sexy as Jeff Goldblum. Okay. And we're all like, hey, this is great. I love this. There's dinosaurs on an island. There's a T-Rex. I'm having a good time. This is great. Surely the next step is to take that the big scary thing from first movie and put it into a new setting.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That is scary to the dinosaur and scary to us. And the fact that, hey, there's a dinosaur where we live now. That's scary. That's spooky. It's not supposed to be here. It's supposed to be on island over there where we're not, you know? That's the next logical step.
Look, I can't actually dispute anything you're saying. I do feel like it is a natural extension of kind of what you'd expect to see from a dinosaur right now. And to risk you absolutely blowing a fucking gasket, right? I will draw a comparison which I feel will sum up my feelings, because I don't really know how to articulate it without saying this.
Okay.
You are a big fan of, you have made no secret on, of the MonsterVerse, the Godzilla, Kong movies, all of that stuff. Yeah?
Yes. The greatest franchise ever created.
Yeah. No, it's a good franchise. I'm not here to slate it, all right?
Greatest movies of all time.
What I will say is, I prefer the Godzilla 2014 to a Godzilla in Godzilla versus Kong or King of the Monsters.
Okay.
The other Godzilla ones.
And that's fine. It's wrong, but it's fine. But even Godzilla 2014 has Godzilla in the sea.
It'd be pretty boring if it was just in some barren wasteland. Like,
yeah, anyone exactly. Here? So there you go.
I'll nuke it, but no one cares. Like, yeah. Is it worth it? Makes me real sleepy. I'll do it though. I don't mind.
Anyway, finish your point.
But my point is, I prefer to see. Do you know what? Of all of your film bro opinions, you say you hate it when they hate it when people enjoy movies. But whenever I talk about a movie,
because it's my voice for when you don't enjoy something.
No, I do. I enjoy everything here. I've never said I don't enjoy it. I just think the last.
Anyway, tell me why this relates to Godzilla 2014.
Right. I prefer seeing the scale and the scariness and the more ominous side of the 2014 Godzilla movie than I do that shot in the trailer of Godzilla and Kong running. There's a place for both, absolutely, but I prefer one to the other. And the difference in comparison that I'm making is I prefer the seeing the dinosaurs and the scale of them and this kind of magical, whimsical but horrifying sandbox of a place for a dinosaur to be. Whereas you take it and you put it in a city where it can run rampage, like it feels a bit more. It just feels a bit more silly. And silly is fine, but it feels a little bit too silly for a franchise that one movie ago was telling me this is the fucking scariest thing of all time.
That's so stupid, man. That's so stupid.
It's just my opinion.
It's stupid, though. If anything, it feels like you not engaging with the text.
But, right. I can enjoy it. I didn't say I don't enjoy it. I just think it's not what I would go to Jurassic Park for.
You go to Jurassic Park for dinosaurs, all right? It's delivered on that in the first fucking sentence, all right? Right.
But it can show the dinosaurs in different ways. And I understand.
It has.
Yes.
It's showing the dinosaur in a different way. It's in the city. It's
but I can prefer it another place. That's my point. I'm not saying I don't enjoy it in the city.
It not,
it's fine.
Is it not new and exciting that it's lost in New York?
It's new. I don't know if I'd call it exciting for me.
What? Why is it not? I don't understand how it's not exciting.
It's stop taking this personally. It's
no,
just,
I won't.
It's this just my taste.
It's a personal insult to me. I just don't understand it. It's a dinosaur an extinct creature, the most frightening creature that the human can comprehend, all right?
Yeah.
Being put into our world, a world that it's not used to, and a world that we're definitely not fucking used to seeing it in. And it's fucking going crazy, and it's eating dogs, and it's drinking from pools. And it was very funny, like, when it first got there. I think it was Julianne Moore who was like, oh, it needs to find a water source. I'm like, it's on the fucking river, man. It just came in off a boat, but then it goes fucking, like, I don't know, 20 miles inland, and then fucking goes to a suburb where there's a pool.
It finds what is the equivalent of a puddle to it, and is like, I'll have a bit of this, yeah.
And maybe it knows it can't have, I don't think this is real accurate at all, but maybe it can't have like salt water from the sea. Maybe it needs a fresh supply. I don't know.
maybe in the transport, some of it kind of leaked in and it had a sip and was like, oh, that's not good.
I need me some Dasani.
Yeah. I tell you what, I found it very funny. One of the funniest jokes in the movie to me is that they take like 8 police car units that all drive in like a big hero, like a big hero's entrance. And without even seeing the inside of a police car, they pull up to the dinosaur and then they all U-turn and drive off. And then you never see them again.
It was very funny, yeah. The animal control department was there as well. Like, bro, what the fuck are you going to do in this situation? You're used to fucking catching dogs in a park, mate. Go home, all right?
The whole thing read very much like they'd been told a sizable lizard.
Yes.
But, like, not a fucking T-Rex.
That's very funny. Yeah, it's great. I can't imagine why someone wouldn't like this scene. It's
There are things I like about it. I just prefer the first movie to this movie.
That guy was running into Blockbuster and he got eaten. It's great.
The evil InGen executive, kind of the mother dinosaur is like, this is how you eat people, to the baby dinosaur, which was quite cute.
I think it was the father.
Was it the father dinosaur?
Yeah, I think so, because Pete Postlethwaite wanted to hunt the male, the buck, didn't he?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, and they're not all ladies anymore, are they? Because they've been doing all sorts of frog stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't really get much of a comeuppance. I know we kind of touched on this earlier, but he didn't really get much of the hunter guy. Did he die? I can't remember if he died or not.
No, he just like walked off. He's just like, my friend is dead. Now I'm sad and I'm going.
Time to retire this massive fucking gun of mine.
No, he did have that great line where like fucking corporate InGen boy was like, oh, we got a job for you at San Diego if you want it. And he just said, no, thank you. I think I've spent enough time around death for the time being or something.
When did he say that?
When he was leaving. Did you watch this movie at all?
Yeah,
did you
just, right, but it's been...
Did you? I think you watched Godzilla 97, you know? That's why you're like, oh, Vince Vaughn was here, and it was all quite weird, and I didn't like the dinosaur in the city. You watched Godzilla 97, didn't you?
No, I watched this movie, but just like 4 days ago. No. I'm hazy on the details.
You watched Godzilla 97.
I've watched loads of movies since. Go on, say it. I know you want to.
Say what?
Okay, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to figure it out. I've watched a few movies since, Nathan, because I'm doing my watch a movie every day.
Oh, you failed.
There you go. Bit more than 5 seconds, but we'll let him have it.
You didn't watch a movie every day?
I didn't. I missed 2 days, I believe.
You missed more than 2 days.
I missed 2 days. I know I missed 2 days.
You missed more than 2 days.
Show me where.
I was watching.
All right, well, I mean, my diary speaks for itself. Go check me out.
Put it up now, then. On the 8th of March, you watched Knives Out.
Yeah.
On the 11th, you watched 20 Days in Maripol.
That's 2 days. So I missed 2 days.
And then... All right, yeah, it's 2 days.
Yes!
All right, so you missed... But you missed it 2 days.
I did miss... Look, I've admitted that. All right.
So the self-proclaimed Mr. Movies himself, okay... The guy who says he loves cinema so much, he can't even stand to see a dinosaur get lost in New York, all right?
Yeah.
This is the guy that you all love?
this I is say your God?
No. I say no.
It's that scene in Batman vs. Superman where someone spray paints false God onto my statue.
Bit of sizzle.
Whoa! Bloody hell, here it comes. I'll be honest, I got absolutely fucking nada else on this movie.
I'm excited for next week because Jurassic Park 3 is the one I had a DVD of when I was a kid. I think it might have been my first DVD. And ooh. I watched it over and over and over again.
Would you say that you like you remember, are you familiar with it? Would you be able to go in and know what happens?
Yeah, I have not seen it in about probably 20 years, mate. But like... Yes, I would.
But long way of answering it, but yeah.
Yes.
I know that's the one where Sam Neill nods at a dinosaur says to wake up or something to Sam Neill. Yeah.
He's having a nightmare on a plane and he sees like a dinosaur in a hat and it goes, Alan, to it.
Oh, it's in a hat. I forgot it was in a hat.
I think it was wearing a hat. Yeah, I think it's wearing a hat.
We won't check. We'll find out.
There's a fun little tease at the end of this movie in that we see some pterodactyls, which as of yet have not featured in the Jurassic Park franchise. We get like the last shot of the island end, and it kind of ends on this lingering shot of a pterodactyl teasing us for what is to come in Jurassic Park 3.
It's not Spielberg Jurassic 3, is it?
No, it's someone else. I don't know who.
We'll find out next week.
I could look it up, but...
That's for next week.
Yeah, that's next week's job.
I do like that John... It does end with like some line about John Hammond says that they've... he's like finally figured out the right course of action, where the dinosaurs just need to be left alone to flourish and to... Like, I guess they're just a part of the ecosystem now. That feels like a war crime, but cool.
Yeah. I can't remember what the inciting incident in 3 is. I know they're, like, back on... Well, they're on A Island. I don't know which one they're on.
Alan, I have a third island that I've been hiding from you all. It has another purpose to do with the dinosaurs, and more people are dying. Help.
Yeah. The thing I remember most about that movie is a phone's ringtone.
Okay.
A mobile phone ringtone.
I tell you what, do not elaborate any further.
No, you'll know what that means when you watch the movie. But.
Alan's doing some digging. He's on a dig site and suddenly Shorty had them apple bottom jeans.
It's not that kind of ringtone.
Okay, all right, I'm curious. We'll find out next week. But what we're going to find out right now, Nathan, is some recommendations.
Yes.
Ask me what we do.
What do we do?
Nathan, it's time to recommend some stuff. What we do at this point in the show is we recommend some stuff to each other and to our lovely
listeners.
I'm going
to recommend Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World, for the scene when the dinosaur gets lost in New York.
Okay. Is that really what you're going with?
No, it's not New York. It's Chicago. It's not Chicago. It's like...
San Diego.
San Diego or San Francisco. It's one of those two.
One of the sands.
I think it's San Diego. Because San Francisco is quite hilly. It's like on a hill, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Like, yeah, it's a big old... I've seen That's So Raven. You know, with the little, they have like a little tram thing that goes up.
That's So Raven. It's the future I can see.
It's so mysterious to me. Yeah.
Anyway, Lawrence, I saw the future. I saw you finish in this segment.
Oh, yeah. Is that really what you're going with, your recommendation?
No. Of course not. No.
Okay, fine.
That was what we call a joke, Lawrence.
Ah, my apologies. It could be something that we've watched, read, listened to, or experienced, just something we've done in this past week that we would love to share with each other and to the loyal listeners. Nathan, what did you watch, read, listen to, or experience this week?
Shut the fuck up and go first.
Okay. Kunk on Earth.
Yes, this was it, yes.
Yeah, we already had a chat about this.
All yes.
Right.
The ancient Romans believe that your brain was in your bum or whatever.
I did not know what to expect. I knew that she is a comedian, so I knew that it was not. I know it was a mockumentary, I think it's genius, right? Because there's a way that one specific scene that just leveled it above other mockumentaries that I've seen just had her in detail explain to this expert that she was interviewing, right? Like. She went so in detail about how she like really gets a fear of being embarrassed for being silly. Mm. Like if someone calls her out, she feels really, really like upset within herself and feels like she's failed and everything else. And then goes ahead and pronounces one simple word really disastrously wrong. and you can see the poor expert just like, I can't be an expert in this interview and not correct you on this. Yeah. But I'm going to feel awful. And then when she does, she just goes, oh. And this segment just ends. I didn't say what it was. Comedian Philomena, her name?
Philomena, yeah.
Philomena Kunk. She basically just tells the story of the entire history of planet Earth. And obviously it's all entirely wrong and stupid and very, very, very funny. And the scene I love the most, there's a recurring gag, and I'll cut this. Have you seen it? You haven't seen it in a while, have you?
No. I saw it like when it came out, which was like last year at some point.
Okay,
when series 2 came out, I think that was.
Do you remember the recurring gag that happened in every episode?
No.
Yeah, there's a recurring joke that happens in every single episode, and every single time it happened, it was like a moment where I just wanted to get up and cheer. It's very funny.
I just had to look this up. Her actual name is Diane Morgan. And so, the actual comedian's
name. This is a character then.
It's a character, yeah. Yeah, it's a character. Yeah.
I see. I remember the day I found out that Keith Lemon wasn't real.
I see that's been happening a lot recently. I see that that's popping up like every two fucking days on TikTok or whatever. Someone's like, why did I just find out Keith Lemon's not real? I'm like, I knew this in like fucking 12 years ago, mate. Calm down, all right?
I saw him. It's Lee Francis or something, isn't it?
Lee Francis, yeah.
Yeah, I saw him in a Sainsbury's once. Didn't say hello to him. He looked like he was just getting on with his shop.
Yeah.
So
he's quite a very, like... I think the reason he, like, mostly does characters is because, like, he just doesn't quite like the limelight and stuff himself. Well, he's...
Even the tiny bit of him I saw when I kind of did a double take in an eye and was like, is that fucking Keith fucking Lemon in the Sainsbury's?
Yeah.
He looked very much, like, hat on, hood up. Like, he very much he was there to do his shop and go the fuck home.
Yeah, he's quite a secluded person. I think, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard he has bipolar, and he just doesn't like interacting with people at all, really.
Fair enough. I mean, that's just right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Lawrence, what are my recommendations? And I hear you don't ask.
Yep.
I forgot how to talk then completely.
Lawrence, we're almost at the end, Nathan.
I know. All right. I have to do a disclosure, first of all, okay? Now, full disclosure. I'm going to say my recommendation is Star Wars Battlefront, the classic collection, okay?
Okay.
But I have to do a disclosure, which is weird, but I do have to do this disclosure, okay? I was given a free copy of this to review, okay? However, that review...
And you can tell it's getting the primetime slot in the show.
That review came with no obligations. You know, I'm not even obligated to review it, first of all. I'm not obligated to say anything one way or the other. No contract was signed. I can say whatever the fuck I want, okay? No money exchanged hands, no services. I was just given a free copy to review, basically.
So technically the money that changed hands was, I guess, the 30 quid you saved from not buying this.
Well,
we know you. You were going to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Nah, you were going to buy it.
Maybe.
I haven't got a free copy, so I'm in the clear here. I can say what I want.
I'm also in the clear. I can say what I want.
Nathan's opinion has been purchased this week.
No, it hasn't. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say my opinion has not been purchased.
Okay. But here's why you should all go out and buy it immediately.
No. And I actually don't think you should. I think you should wait a bit because I don't think it's quite ready yet, which is a problem the video game industry seems to have these days, releasing unfinished games. I don't think this is quite ready yet. I think it's a good... If you just want to like go into the fucking... the original games and just experience them as you did when when they came out, then yeah, sure, great. It's a good, fun nostalgia trip. They're still great games. They still hold up well. They're very fun. I loved playing the two Battlefronts back in the day. They're absolutely great fun.
Is there good campaigns to them?
Yeah, yeah. Second one in particular has got a great campaign. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, really good. It takes you through like a single clone's journey from like the Clone Wars to like the rise of the Empire and like the transition from, Soldier of the Republic to Stormtrooper of the Empire.
Oh, shit.
And stuff.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
And it's voiced by Tamara Morrison as well.
Oh, amazing. Perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
It's great. It's really good. But it's really good. That side of it is very fun, very nostalgic, exactly what the fun of it was and stuff. The issue is in the multiplayer aspect and like the new stuff that's been added. Multiplayer is not great. They fucked the servers. I think when it launched, they had like 3 servers available.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, which was a fucking nightmare for most people.
That's just unusable.
It is, yeah. I've managed to get into a few online games, but it doesn't run great currently. It pings quite a bit, and it's just not an enjoyable experience for most. So I would hold off until it's fully done before you purchase it. Because a lot of people want to get back into this, want to get into the multiplayer aspect and have a play around with it and stuff, and hopefully when it's up and running, it can be great. But just for the moment, it doesn't quite seem to be there.
People will spend money on it because it is an obvious nostalgia. Come and have a bit of this,
and for that it's good. It's good. But like for the new stuff, for the it's been sold on these new multiplayer maps with like 64 people lobbies and stuff, but it's just, it's, you can't get that at the moment. You just cannot do that. I mean, you look in any lobby that you can get into and there'll be about like fucking 15 people in there, and then jeez, even that is glitching out all over the place and it's not really an enjoyable experience. So yeah,
EA, right? Is this EA?
No, it's Aspyr.
Okay, I don't know Aspyr.
EA did the more modern Battlefronts, but yeah, Aspyr did this remaster.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So I was going to say, they obviously it's not all under the same umbrella then, but because this happened with Jedi Survivor, and they fixed it, admittedly, but like on launch it was a bit, it wasn't in its most polished form at launch, was it?
It wasn't that bad, Jedi Survivor, but yeah, yeah, that's right, it wasn't as polished as it should have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Well, hold off. Yeah. I'm sure they'll fix it, because there's got to be enough people moaning about it, surely.
I think there is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully they will sort it out. Well, anyway,
thank you for the free copy.
Yeah. And thank you again for sponsoring this episode and all the future episodes.
No, that's not
the official podcast of Aspyr, Inspire, whatever Nathan just said. Well, that being said, thank you very, very much for listening. Nathan, check this out, right? I've revamped the outro.
I'll pay attention this time.
Thanks. Your notes are welcome, to be honest. It's a trial run, much like Hammond should have done. Thank you very much for listening. If you have enjoyed the show, then please feel free to leave us a 5-star review. It would be very much appreciated. You can do that on your podcast platform of choice. Apple is always good, because they let you write a little message, which is always nice to read and see. You can also follow us on Twitter at Another Happy Pod. Be sure to mosey on over there to keep up with the latest cool things going on, as well as follow the link in our pinned tweet to suggest a topic for us to check out. No promises, anything is possible. We will see what happens.
So someone just replied to one of our tweets this week with "Do the Last Airbender," and I felt like just replying, "Okay,
yeah, but please calm down." Direct them, Nathan, to the pinned tweet in our.
Yes, please go. We might do The Last Airbender. I'd quite like to get Lawrence to watch it, but suggest it. Fill in the form, suggest it, and then we'll see.
Nothing's official until it's in the form. Right?
It's true. Yeah, true. And even then, Nathan, it's not official.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. We'll make our minds up, all right?
Yeah.
Nathan, we have another podcast as well.
Lawrence, I'm so glad you asked, even though you didn't. We do. It's called Still Got Legs. It's our Doctor Who Rewatch podcast, where every week we watch and discuss an episode of Doctor Who. And it is every week, not like this shit show.
hey, we missed one week a year.
Yes, that's true. No, I think we missed one at the start of the year as well, because...
That's just a bit of fun. That doesn't count. January is everyone's catching up.
Because you didn't edit the 4-hour episode, and then somehow I ended up editing it, even though it wasn't my
responsibility. We'll go into this if you want to.
It wasn't my responsibility, but somehow it still ended up being my responsibility. anyway, what was I saying? Still got legs.
We have another podcast.
Doctor Who podcast. It's a good fun time. We watch Doctor Who. We discuss Doctor Who. We love Doctor Who, and you do too, because you love us. So come and listen to that.
That is what I heard. Lovely new Discord server going on over there as well.
It's popping off. It's beautiful. If you want to join us for fun chats about anything that you like, including what Lawrence watched on TV last night. It was probably Succession.
It wasn't. I don't just have it on a loop. I have done in the past, but I'm out of my phase at the minute.
Seems like it.
We'll get there eventually in Suck Gust, which is actually a Sucktember now, isn't it, I think?
No, Suck Your Lie.
Suck Your Lie. Fantastic. Right, lovely stuff. Be sure to join us next week, because we are very excited to be finishing off Jurassic March with this.
Alan. Jurassic Park 3.
Or Mario. Who knows?
No.
We can't be sure. And Nathan will be pleased to hear this little change in the outro. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next Friday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's good stuff.
I had to get it in somewhere. We'll see you next Friday at 10 a.m. After Dark.
I'm still recording, so I guess we can.
What do you want to talk about? I don't even have anything to discuss. It just feels...
Well, you need to. You need to bring a topic to the table. If we're doing After Dark, then... You got to keep it after the jingle, though, so only the real ones stay, you know?
Yeah, right in the very end, the last moment, yeah. I don't know, man. What you got going on?
I don't know.
It's not really worth it then, is it, I guess?
What movie did you watch today?
I rewatched All of Us Strangers. I wanted to watch that again.
What is that?
I've done it on recommendations before, but as I know that you always fall asleep during them, I'll re-explain.
Okay.
It's a lovely movie about I don't know. It was adapted from a Japanese novel about ghosts. Okay. So in some way it's a queer loneliness ghost story which has a very optimistic outlook on life.
So yeah, I was going to say boring, but then you said queer, so now I'm conflicted.
Yes, now you can't actually take the piss out of it. Andrew Scott is in it. Incredible.
Oh, I like Andrew Scott. He plays Moriarty.
He does. In
that Sherlock
famous
show
great TV show, Sherlock. Yes. Yeah,
yeah. A lot of Sherlock bashing lately.
Yeah, that's
good. We had someone in the Discord today go, was that description of the Sherlock episode you did real?
To the point where it could have been a joke. Yeah. It's, I mean, context, that was about the episode of Sherlock where his mate's a dog and his sister killed the dog and his brother mind palaced him into not having a dog. I don't fucking know. A dog.
The final episode of Sherlock, which...
Is it the... Do they end with that one? Is that the final one?
That's the last one, yeah. Because it ends with, like, that montage of, like, John and Sherlock are doing lots of investigations and now they have a daughter or whatever. And then, like, John's dead wife is, like, my Baker Street boys or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and isn't there a really cheesy slow-mo shot of them coming out the front door of the flat or something?
No, I think there's like a... I think it like ends on a shot of them like running out of a building as it like explodes behind them. Cool guys.
It doesn't. Surely it doesn't explode.
I'm sure it does. Let me. You know what? I gotta go to the tape.
We gotta find out now. Yeah.
I'm almost certain it ends on a fucking exploding building, which is wild for Sherlock, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, there's not really much to detect there.
No, it's...
World's greatest sleuth. I reckon that blew up. Yeah. me and all Sherlock.
I've cracked it, boys.
Thank God we got Sherlock, an unqualified detective on the case.
Here we go, Sherlock. Turn on parental guidance lock. Go away. I don't need this.
Too many dead dogs, man. Can't have kids stumbling across this.
I'll tell you what, he's handsome though, isn't he? Benedict Cumberbatch.
I think he's got an odd face.
He does have an odd face, but he plays it well.
I'm not saying he's not a good Sherlock. I just think the writing on Sherlock is awful sometimes.
And if I'm gone, I know what you could become. Because I know who you really are. A junkie who solves crimes to get high. And the doctor who never came home from the war.
He's playing violin with his crazy sister who tried to kill him. Isn't that nice?
Oh dear. The one that killed the dog?
Who you really are, it doesn't matter.
And his mum and dad are there. The legend.
Wait, they're alive?
Yeah, and they're played by Benedict Cumberbatch's actual parents as well.
For the love of God.
Yeah.
There is a last refuge for the desperate.
Oh, Mrs. Hudson. I forgot about Mrs. Hudson. The
persecuted. It was always funny when Sherlock rinsed out Mrs. Hudson for no reason in Sherlock, I will admit.
Oh, they're redoing the flat. Shoeing the wall like it was before. I tell you what, the music was good, though.
Yeah. Carried a lot of it.
See, they're doing all these cases. When all else fails, they got a baby.
There are two men sitting arguing in a scruffy flat. Like they've always been there,
I just realized no one can hear this. This isn't recording.
But no, I know. Men I have ever known. I'm just listening.
No, Baker Street Boys. There they are. It's the Baker Street Boys. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. There they go. They're running out of a building. All right. It doesn't explode, okay? I made up the explosion in my head, it seems.
All of that for no explosion. That has got to be the biggest letdown of all time.
It turns out it was just them running out of a building, okay? In my head, it was exploding. That's how I remembered it.
The worst thing is, you false memoried it for me as well. When you said explosion, I was like, maybe there was an explosion.
I mind palaced you.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's the true beauty of Sherlock all along.
It may be. Maybe.
Maybe there was an explosion and Mycroft has got the best of both of us.
How should we do Sherlock?
Drunk. To be honest. Heavily medicated.
See, I don't know. I think... I don't know.
We could do 4 weeks of Sherlock, four seasons. I know they're mini-movies, but we've committed more time. There's only like three mini-movies.
Yeah. It's like... Yeah. It's a lot, though, isn't it?
Yeah. And they're all bad. No, they're not all bad.
They're not all bad. They're mostly bad.
I think three out of four are bad. No, I think one is seasons. I think one is okay, two is fine, and three and four are bad.
I think two is probably the best.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Maybe I'm getting them mixed up then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I like the one where the I'll tell you what, I do like the there's one set at a wedding which I quite enjoy.
That's three.
Oh, maybe there is some, there's a diamond in the rough then, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely a lot of bad. Our Sherlock, if we ever did Sherlock episodes, they would go on for hours.
Yeah, I know.
There's simply too much to make fun of.
I see, that's why I'm like, because if we did it, I'd like doing one episode per series, I don't feel like it's enough, you know? I feel like we'd have to do a... Still got Sherlocked. We'd have to go episode, you know? And there's not many of them.
I tell you what, when we run out of screams, we'll pivot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad, you know?
But then if a new scream comes out, Sherlock will have to go on the back seat and we'll just keep alternating.
I don't think you'll want to do that.
Oh yeah, probably not, actually, yeah. Maybe we retire Scream with the death of Wes Craven.
Yeah, which was, like, years ago.
No, but, like, you know, he did four, didn't he? Four's his last one? Or he didn't do four?
I don't know if he did four.
I've got to find out now.
Did he do four?
We're on After Dark.
Four was done when he was alive, but... No, so he must have, yeah.
There's no way he let someone else touch it while he was alive. Yes, Scream 4, yes. Directed by... Yeah, Wes Craven, yeah.
Maybe this is the last year for Scream, then.
We retire Scream and then we pivot to one episode of Sherlock per year.
That's insane.
It's time to do our annual checkup on the Baker Street Boys.
That is ridiculous. I like the idea of doing one per year, but it's
very stupid, isn't it?
It's very stupid, yes.
And then we set ourselves up there for a dynasty, over a decade of episodes.
I know that first of all, that's assuming this will carry on for fucking like 9 years or whatever, even more longer than that. Well, yeah, how many is it? It's like fucking you got 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. So 4 times 3 is 12, and then plus the special, so it's 13. It's 13 years.
Jesus. Sherlock. And we've still got another Scream first.
And we've still got another Scream. Yeah. So that would take us to 2038. Which is insane, Lawrence. I'll be 44 years old.
Oh, man.
That's ridiculous. We cannot commit to that. Surely not.
I mean, we could commit to it. Whether we meet out the commitment or not is someone else's business.
But then we don't get to the fun stuff until we're 44.
Yeah, but that's what I quite like. It could be a slow descent into madness. Each episode. A year apart.
You could be dead by then.
Okay, hang on. Why me?
Well, you could be.
So could you.
Yeah, but you could get hit by a bus.
Yeah, so could you. I'll drive it.
How? Yeah, I haven't done your theory yet. Right, I brought it back.
No, you can't bring it back. It's not fair. I'm ending After Dark now.
Oh, because you got humbled.
Yeah, because I got humbled. No, but also we've just turned this into a planning session.
That's true. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this.
Yeah, real.
What you'll have to do is you'll have to download the last episode of Sherlock and find a way to sync up what was happening with what I was narrating.
Here's a click.
Quite poorly.
Use that to sync. It won't work, but you can use it.
You. That's between you and your god.
Yeah, it's up to you guys. You find out.
No, you. I'm talking to you.
Oh, no, hang on. I'm not doing anything.
I'm saying you, in the edit, Lawrence, will need to download and sync. Do you think I was talking to the audience that whole time?
Yeah, I'm not putting in that much effort for After Dark.
No, you're going to have to. Yeah, you're going to have to, man.
All right, fine. Well, we'll see.
I'll check.
I'll just go and screen record it.
Yeah, that's fine. You can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the building, that'll be a perfect thing. When it goes on for just too long and there's no explosion, I'll sync you up then.
There was a point where I matched it up with the music, so you'll be able to do that. I was like, so you can find that and you can sync it up.
Nathan, we have to go.
You wanted to do another Happy After Dark.
Yeah, but this is longer than all of the others and also possibly the most boring.
We've had a good chat.
Yeah, we have. No one will want to hear this. Yeah.
All right, that's true. All right, yeah, we'll end it there. We've already played the theme, so we don't have to. So instead of that, I will just say goodbye.
And I will say, get fucked.
That's how you want to go out?
I feel bad. Goodbye.
No, that's how you want to go out, Lawrence. That's how you choose to end this discussion of love and passion and dinosaurs, then.
It's true. I love everyone, and thank you for all listening to our dinosaur talk.
Goodbye.
Bye.